The Mets trying to spark their team at home as they begin this 7-game homestand have unveiled a grimace seat at Citi Field. If you are near section 302, go to row 6, seat 12. The seat has been painted purple in honor of Grimace. And Grimace even has his own nameplate on the seat. So there's lots of questions. Like, does that mean Grimace is going to be sitting in that seat throughout the homestand?
You got to pay extra to sit in that seat?
Yeah, can you sit in that seat? So if you're going to Citi Field tonight and you're checking it out, that's the Grimace seat that the New York Mets have unveiled.
Grimace, you're our lucky charm.
I think desperate times call for desperate measures, Teague. Lindor's banged up.
Is it desperate?
I mean, Lindor, the MVP, is not going to play potentially for a few days.
Yeah,
they've
but
lost
tied.
Two brutal games
you're tied.
In a row.
You're good.
Well, no. They're good standings-wise.
That's what I mean. You're good. You're in good position.
So you don't like this?
I don't like to use the Grimace seat as a motivator or a catalyst.
Well, they're just trying.
One last gimmick for the road.
I'm telling you, but it's a recycled gimmick.
Well, it's new. They're giving him a seat.
It's even worse with you sitting in here with that stupid bag on your head.
We're 0-2, Teak.
The Giants suck.
Bad.
Speaking of recycled gimmicks, I mean, we're 0-2 here.
Here's Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and that's the only sponsor. All right, I'm here to give you the five most unlikely losses in Giants history.
Okay. Ever?
Yes.
Okay.
We've stomached a lot of pain, hence the bag. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Last year, 13 seconds of hell from Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Statistically speaking, that was a 99.9 win probability for the Giants.
Yeah.
And all you needed was Saquon to fall forward for a yard, or I don't know, Graham Gano to not have been hurt and make a field goal, and they don't give Zach Wilson 13 seconds to get in field goal range, tie it, send it to overtime.
Of course, you're talking about the most forgettable game in NFL history and the one that set us back to the 1950s.
We did. And who was on the call of that game?
That would be Andrew Catalan, Matt Ryan, and Tiki Barber.
There
AJ
you go,
Ross on the sideline.
Tiki, unfortunately, a part of multiple on the list. That was the first one. Here we go.
Number four.
Miracle at the Meadowlands won. Boy, I learned more about this than I did, you know, American history when I was growing up. Leading 17-12, just needing to run the clock out. Joe Pisarcik fumbles. That's a curse word in my parents' house. Herman Edwards takes it to the house. Giants lose 19-12 in 1970.
Yes, but it started a new run for the New York Giants.
Exactly. That's
it brought George Young.
It turned into actually a positive because the league got involved. They addressed the Giants' kind of family issues that they had.
Uh-huh.
And like Tiki said, they gave you George Young, and it basically turned the team around.
It's so interesting.
It's one of those things where it's a horrible loss, but I would look back on it with a smile if I'm a Giant fan.
It's interesting you say that because all of these have a tie-in to something positive.
Ooh.
Yesterday's tie-in, or last year's tie-in, losing that game helped get him Malik Neighbors. This tie-in was, of course, the George Young situation.
All right, number three.
Number three is yesterday. Not the playoff significance, but to be the first team in NFL history to score three or more touchdowns, not allow a single touchdown, and yet still lose a game in regulation? How could that happen?
I'm with you, Tiki. It's tough to look at him holding that bag
really
on his
head. It's just kind of like, I want to, like, punch you.
You should punch me. Just punch me.
Yeah, you
so what does yesterday's loss lead to?
Right.
You know, I've said, don't win. Let's get Quinn. We'll see. Here we go.
Number two.
Number two is Miracle at the Meadowlands Part 2, the Deshaun Jackson game.
Oh, God.
21 points.
Yeah.
8 minutes left. Thank you, Matt Dodge. Now, why is that game significant? The following year, they won Super Bowl 46, and they were highly motivated on finishing games.
The bag is like coming off his head.
All right, here we go.
Number one.
And finally, the most unlikely loss in Giant history. Again, yesterday's was three. The 2002 wild card loss to the Niners. Still waiting for that missed pass interference call, Tiki. Outrageous. I'm sorry. I know you were part of this game. It broke my heart, too. In the end, unfair to Kerry Collins, but this game may have down the road indirectly led to Eli Manning. Because had the Giants won, go on a run, maybe they get to a Super Bowl, Kerry's extended, maybe we never get the Eli Manning era.
Very good point. That's a positive. Bonus point if you can name who the pass interference was on, should have been on.
Richie Seibert.
There it is.
Okay, thank you. Matt Allen threw the pass.
You're a good fan.
I am a good
fantasy. Take the damn bag off
I'm
your
not.
Head.
I'm not. We're 0-2. The bag doesn't come off till we win a game.
Oh, so if they win against Cleveland, bag comes off?
Every football Monday, I will do the bag on the head until they win a game.
Ugh. That's fair, T.
Yeah, okay. As long as I have to look at you tomorrow wearing it.
Yeah, no, he can't do it throughout the week because he's a Yankee fan. Yankees are about to begin a big West Coast trip. He's got to get focused.
Oh, by the way, they are 100% of my focus right now after the time. I'm all in.
There's your Cinco de Fava every day at 5 o'clock. By the way, and I want you to do this with your bag on. Earlier in the show, and we didn't get to fully have the discussion because we had breaking news about Lindor being out for a couple days. But we talked a little bit about Gerrit Cole on Saturday and the fact that it was just, it was embarrassingly weak for Gerrit Cole, especially on his own, to signal, I don't want to face Rafael Devers with a 1-0 lead and one out of nobody on in the fourth inning. To the point where Aaron Boone, even after the game, admitted, wasn't my call.
Yeah.
Austin Wells was like, I didn't know. And Gerrit Cole admitted, it was on him. I think we all kind of universally agree that this is one of the softest things we've seen a professional athlete do.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, Tiki, Sean Morash agrees with Gerrit Cole.
I do.
Why?
Well, it's more, I want to make this clear. It's more, I disagree with crushing Gerrit Cole for it. I could understand how that you don't like the competitor in him. Here's the deal. As Yankee fans, think about it. We kept pointing out Clay Holmes, the closer, we want Dominguez. All I heard, and I know I was guilty of this, stop pitching to Rafael Devers. They had a one-run lead on Saturday.
Yeah.
So nobody out. I understand. If Devers rocks a solo homer there, the reaction would have been from every fan, stop pitching to Rafael Devers, especially Gerrit Cole. He chose not to. He crumbled afterwards. That's on Gerrit Cole not finishing after the walk. But I don't like the idea of how dare he walk him. What? All we've been begging for the Yankees to do is to stop pitching to this freaking guy.
I think my issue is forget anything to do with Rafael Devers. What he would have done, what the result was. It's more what it did to his mind, like to his mentality. Because if there's one thing I respect the hell out of, I mean, obviously he's a great pitcher, and as Evan said earlier, likely headed towards the Hall of Fame, yada, yada, yada. But the thing I respect the most about him is how he approaches being ready for games. And as soon as he stood up and did that, it was like, all right, that killer mentality is gone.
He should have drilled him. He should have drilled him.
He would have been better off.
He could have done that.
Because it would have been aggressive.
And that's not pitching to him. So I'm fine with that, but I can't.
Is he saving a pitch?
If Boone was the one that did this and Gerrit Cole disagreed but still obeyed by the manager and blew it up, I'd have a problem. Gerrit Cole, if that's your competitor instinct, you had no problem throwing the four fingers up.
But I think it was the wrong instinct. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to think of what in your mind makes you, in the heat of the moment, say, I'm tapping out.
If you don't trust,
I'm good.
You don't trust your stuff.
You believe that guy owns you. Like, he believes everything we've said, that he can't get Rafael Devers out. And what really jumped out at me is that I'll never forget this conversation. Okay, and you weren't here for it because you were on vacation. I'm not putting you down, but you were. We sat here in July. Excuse me?
Go back to North Carolina.
Well, I'm just saying.
Just say that with the tenor like I was the only one on vacation.
Well, no, you were. It was me, Tiki, and Loogie, and I want to get everybody involved because this is very weird to me. It was like July 8th or 9th. We're doing a show, and it was the Monday after Luis Gil gave up a home run to Devers, and the Red Sox beat the Yankees 1-0.
Yes, I remember this.
And so I admitted, you got to face Devers. Like, I'm not walking him in a 0-0 game. You agreed with me. Loogie completely disagreed with me, which I'm very curious about. I'll get to that in a second. And Aaron Boone, in the clips we played, was offended by the question. He was offended by the idea that anyone would even ask, why are you walking Rafael Devers in a 0-0 game in the seventh inning? Here's a 1-0 game in the fourth inning, and what I couldn't wrap my head around is, here's a manager that was offended by the question, and now he's sitting here and he's watching his pitcher do a far more egregious thing.
Right.
And so I appreciate that Aaron Boone after the game said, that was his decision.
Yes.
Because there's no way it could have been Aaron Boone's decision based on what he said on that night.
Right.
But you know what I'm really curious about? Loogie. Loogie was the one guy who sat here that night or afternoon and said, you can't face Rafael Devers. And I respect that. I disagreed with you, but I respect that. Now, a little different situation. Fourth inning, 1-0. Do you disagree with Gerrit Cole, or are you remaining kind of steadfast, you can't face Rafael Devers?
No, I totally 100% am on board with what Gerrit Cole did. What I have an issue with is that after that, you got to get Tyler O'Neill out. if you're going to go with that strategy, you can't walk Tyler O'Neill, who's an all-or-nothing hitter.
Right.
Devers completely destroys the Yankees. He destroys Cole. He's really the only guy in that lineup after you get past Duran that's going to hurt you. Let someone else beat you. You tip your cap. The problem is he walked O'Neill. And then Boone, after the game, threw Cole under the bus.
No, he was honest, though.
No.
Boone can't say a
lie. No, that's they lie all the time. That's when you lie. If you want to overrule.
What should he have said?
Tiki, they asked him after the game, they're like, Aaron, don't you have an opportunity to overrule your pitcher there? And he goes, well, yeah. Then why didn't he? Why didn't he stand up and go, you know what, Gerrit Cole, I don't agree with this. Because after the game, he said, I disagree with
this. Isn't it done?
Well, so here's the part of the problem with that. So because of these rules where you signal the fingers, Austin Wells, who I feel really bad about in this whole situation, was asked about it, and he's like, I had no idea what was happening.
Right.
He did not know Garrett was going to do it, and he was pressed like, did you try to talk him out of it? And he's like, it's too late. What should I say to the umpire? Just kidding.
He's not walking. Psych. Yeah.
Which is, by the way, a funny answer from a rookie.
Yeah.
But Aaron Boone, and you see this on the broadcast, talked to Gerrit Cole down the tunnel after that half inning. Aaron Boone was pissed. He's pissed because we heard him in July act insulted by the idea of walking Devers with nobody on base in a 0-0 game in the seventh. So, of course, his baseball instincts would be against this gutless move. And it is a gutless move. I'm sorry. Like, I don't take back anything I've said about Garrett. He's a great pitcher. I want him with the ball in his hands in a big spot. He's the most reliable pitcher in baseball. What he pulled Saturday afternoon with his catcher not knowing, with his manager disagreeing, was gutless.
No, but it's stupid.
It was, bro.
But it's stupid if, once again, he can't get Devers out and he hits a homer there and you go, you just blew it. You had an empty base. Look, I you want to argue guts or no guts? I'm going to take Gerrit Cole's guts in that spot, or at least his smart instinct.
Okay, but what would you rather have happen? Devers hit a home run and owned him, and the Yankees find a way to come back and win the game? Or Gerrit Cole disconnect from his, like, mojo machine and turn into what he turned into for the next two innings?
Oh, of course, I want them to come back off one home run and win the
game. Exactly, so pitch to Devers.
Yep.
Okay, but my point is, if it was the pitcher's decision, it's on him to figure it out after and not turn off his
motor. Okay, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, of course.
Our opinions aren't mutually exclusive.
Sure, the only
thing I'm talking about is what it did to Gerrit Cole himself. Right? So it has nothing to do with anything. It has nothing to do with Boone. Has nothing to do with Wells. Has nothing to do with anything other than Gerrit Cole volunteering to turn himself off. That's what bothers you about it.
And if that's what happened, I highly doubt Gerrit Cole will ever do it again.
Because that can't happen. Now, the other thing that occurred from this, which I'm not sure you guys are aware of, but is fascinating to me, is Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, upon seeing, and think about him, he sees Devers hit in the first inning, then he sees Gerrit Cole say, I want to walk him.
Right.
So Cora admits after the game, he was throwing at him in the first inning. And then admitted that Bayo tried to hit Aaron Judge a few innings later and said, you get your one shot at it.
Yeah.
I have not heard recently, I'd say in the last decade, a manager openly admit that a player was trying to hit someone else. Now, it's all been cleared up. Judge and Cora spoke before Sunday's game. And then Alex Cora, and this is my favorite part, Alex Cora says, if we go on a run, we're going to remember this moment as the thing that turned our season around. You losers.
Oh,
and then
God.
You lose on Sunday. Yeah.
Who's the loser? Alex Cora. You want to talk about the Giants' defense, Brian Daboll? Nobody in this town had a more embarrassing weekend than Alex Cora. His stupid words. Maybe this puts us on a run. Oh, he was definitely thrown out.
Run.
Yeah. You know what, Alex Cora? Go enjoy the offseason, you cheating, whining bitch.
Wow. Nice, Sean.
Get lost.
Thank you.
The one thing I'll defend Alex on, I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate that he was the one manager to actually come out and say, we were going to drill Aaron Judge. And rightfully so. Because Gerrit Cole admitting, I don't want to face Rafael Devers by walking him in the fourth inning, admitted that he hit him on purpose in the first inning, and he should have hit him on purpose in the fourth inning too.
Right. So he could keep his aggressiveness.
Exactly. Now let's get back to your calls, including a guy that was in Washington for the Giant game. Matt in Hoboken, New Jersey. How was that experience, Matt?
Not fun.
Oh, man. I'm sorry if I sound a little under the weather. I lost my voice when I screamed leak after that touchdown, man. He had a great game. Let's get that out of the way. He had a great game.
Yeah, he did.
All right. TK, I got to get out of this way, too. Man, I'm a huge fan since the 90s. I remember going up to Albany at training camp, meeting you, and you signed probably for an hour and a half. Every kid left with an autograph. You're one of the greatest Giants of all time,
appreciate
man. Thank you,
man.
For all the memories, man.
Thank you, bud.
So we just got back from Washington. We're on the Amtrak coming back from Washington. Got to Newark about an hour ago, so I've been on hold since then. But me and my buddies were talking about this. We saw Gano got hurt early on. This happened last year. Gano, I don't know if you guys talked about this because we were on the train. I was trying to catch a little power nap. But Gano said on like a Friday, or he told Dave he was hurt, and Dave said he was good to go. This happened again. They knew he was like, well, he was on the injury report, I think.
Right. He was.
Yeah. Gillen, I don't know if you guys remember this. I don't know if you talked about it already. Last year, he had like a 40-something yard field goal against the Saints.
He did.
But
one for one.
The guy can kick.
He can, but the problem was, like, the first one, he missed so bad. I can see why it became an untrustworthy situation. But still, that's what his job is.
Yeah, it's giving up, though. I mean, Matt, I kind of agree with you. So go back to the beginning of the show, and I hope you had a good time despite the loss going down to D.C. If you rewind on the Odyssey app, we went through the different options that Brian Daboll had upon knowing that there was an injury concern around Graham Gano.
Mm-hmm.
And one of which was obviously not to play him, one of which not have him do kickoffs, but the last little option was once he's hurt, why give up on Jamie Gillen as a place kicker because he missed one extra point? I thought that was a very loser mentality, especially when your two-point play calling was awful.
Right.
So I agree that one of the other options, especially in situations where kicking an extra point is a no-brainer over going for two, why you wouldn't take the risk that maybe the one miss could actually turn into something positive, that Drew Locke will do a better job holding, and Jamie Gillen, who, like you said, has made a career field goal, could turn it around. I think that was another mistake Coach Daboll made.
Yeah, it's hard to justify it, but, I mean, I just think back to the planning of it. And I don't know. I mean, we had a caller say that they only had 52 guys up. I wasn't paying enough attention to the roster. We can look into this. If they had 51 up the last week and 52 up, if that's the case and you're doing it to save salary,
Well, that's no excuse.
That is not an excuse.
No. Salary cannot be an excuse.
No.
Josh is in Queens. Hey, Josh.
Fellas, there's nothing better than hearing just the sad, pitiful Sean Marash on a Monday after the Giants lost, okay? This is, I hate baseball, but these are the sports gods just getting back to all of the Jets and Mets fans who have suffered for so long when Sean takes his little tiny little jabs at us and he goes, yeah, the Jets are going to go 14-3. Yeah, they're going to be good. Yeah. We don't want you to mention anything about the Jets. Now,
keep
about
the Jets.
The Jets.
Name out
Josh,
your mouth,
Josh, I picked them to win 16 wins, pal. You can't deal with them.
Keep them out of your mouth. Last year, I was right. Keep the Jets out of your mouth, all right?
Keep them out of your mouth
and enjoy your 100 jersey, all right, bro?
I know. It's
your 100 jersey and your khaki pants. Now to the Jets, all right?
Yes.
All right, so here you go.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, Tiki, you definitely see this. Just complete control of the offense.
100%.
I mean, just really complete control. Clutch plays. I mean, I'm sure you guys talked about already where that third down, fourth quarter, last drive, that pass to Garrett Wilson where he adjusted his body after the throw was even thrown.
Well, Aaron Rodgers threw it where he could catch it easier.
Exactly. Catch radius and just IQ high right there. The other thing really, really sad about Jermaine Johnson, I thought he was poised for a monster year this year.
Right.
And just
and
a horrible injury.
And Josh, he had a pretty good game, too.
Oh,
He didn't show up in the stat sheet. Like, he didn't have any sacks or maybe he had some pressures, but you could see it. Like, there was an edge.
He was impactful.
He was impacting the game despite not having the statistics. And for him to go out like that, it sucked because 2 weeks ago, right before the start of the season, that's what we were talking about.
Yes.
We're talking about, all right, JJ, you got to become that guy, especially without Hassan Reddick in camp. Like, you have to become this player. And it took a week, but this week, he played great football.
He played fantastic, and I wish him the best, and hopefully next year he comes back stronger than ever. It has led many Jet fans, you heard Beningo say this about an hour and a half ago, to say this means they have to sign Hassan Reddick. When we come back, the quiet thing that may be affecting the Jets from signing Hassan Reddick. And it's not Joe Douglas, and it's not Robert Saleh. We'll get to it coming up. Plus, 2 weeks in a row now, Tiki Barber, while broadcasting an NFL game, said something very dirty.
Stop it.
We'll play for it. We'll play it for you coming up. So yesterday, there was a lot of football, a lot of very entertaining football. One of the more entertaining games featured the Baltimore Ravens collapsing against the Las Vegas Raiders. We saw the Las Vegas Raiders come back, defeat the Baltimore Ravens, and if you watched that game, you heard Tiki Barber. But that's not the only thing you heard. For the second consecutive week, Tiki was very inappropriate on the broadcast.
I was not inappropriate. You hear things because your mind is dirty.
Now, I want to make something clear. I am not playing bad Tiki clips or anything like that. I'm playing an actual clip from your game. Last week, I forget what you said. Something about how you like big guys.
I like big men doing dirty, big, bad things to little men.
Yeah, I think that was the clip that we found. And it's all real. Like I didn't change what you said. So this week, again, Tiki Barber getting very, very dirty.
It just gets really hard once Derrick Henry starts grinding on you.
That's what
at some point you just have to swallow it.
Oh, Derrick Henry. I mean, for those that missed it, here it is one more time. Tiki Barber on Derrick Henry.
It just gets really hard once Derrick Henry starts grinding on you.
So what's going on there, buddy?
Oh, I got a crush on Derrick Henry.
Second straight week.
He's a massive running back, and I love the resurgence of the running back.
I wonder if we're going to have a third straight week. What game do you have coming up over the weekend?
I have Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears visiting Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts in Indy from, what's the field called? I forget what advert is.
Lucas Oil?
Lucas Oil Stadium.
All right. Yeah, we're ready to go, so we're all prepared. Again, if you hear Tiki say anything, it doesn't have to be inappropriate, dirty humor. Be sure to DM me on social media or tweet out Loogie, and we'll certainly get it up. But there you go, 2 weeks in a row.
I love watching big men do damage on little guys.
Yeah, that was week one. That was week one, so 2 weeks in a row. Now, real quick, before we get back to your calls, and if you want to call this a conspiracy theory, that's totally fine.
Go ahead.
But I'm going to tell you why I do have some deep concern about the Jets ever getting a deal done with Hassan Reddick.
Oh. Interesting. Go ahead.
So, obviously, the Jets are now in a position where, unfortunately, over the first 2 weeks of the season, things have happened on the field that make Hassan Reddick even more valuable to the Jets. Jermaine Johnson is done for the season. They could use an edge pass rusher. Signing Hassan Reddick feels much more vital today than it was 2 days ago or 2 weeks ago.
I would agree with that.
Joe Douglas has a contract that expires at the end of the season. That is now public information. Ian Rappaport reported that about a week and a half ago, that he's good with it, Jets are good with it. He is in a contract season. This is a win-now team for the New York Jets. And depending on the results, Joe may get a new contract. He may be let go. Okay? Those are out there.
Right.
Joe Douglas, who made a trade for Hassan Reddick, has zero reason not to sign Hassan Reddick. Who cares about the salary cap next year or the year after that?
Good point.
He may not be here. Okay? So it leads me to, well, then, Evan, why hasn't he signed Woody Johnson?
Oh, so you think the owner is holding up?
Yes.
Because he doesn't want Joe Douglas to make a move that he's not going to be accountable for whenever that contract should end.
And he doesn't want to give out more money than he already has. Woody Johnson is a billionaire. I appreciate that he spent on Aaron Rodgers. I appreciate that he has spent a lot on the New York Jets. But unfortunately, and this may seem unfair, and this goes for Steve Cohen as well, this goes for Hal Steinbrenner, this goes for every owner in this town. Thank you for spending a lot, but it's not always enough.
Yeah.
And if you're not giving out a few extra $1 million to Hassan Reddick because you're protecting the millions or billions that you already have, I understand it's not fair for me to count your money, but it's my money too. We're Jet fans, and you have to do everything in your power to give this team the best chance to win. Hassan Reddick not being on the football field is bad for the New York Jets. And so what I'm doing is I'm following the bouncing ball here. Joe Douglas is standing up out of principle to not give Hassan Reddick what he wants when Joe Douglas himself is in a win-now year and is a free agent at the end of the year. That doesn't pass the smell test.
But
this is on Woody Johnson.
Right. You might be right, but it also, you have to be prudent. When it comes to the finances, even if you're not going to be there, because you could also still be there. You know what I mean? Like, he gets an extension, and now he screwed himself for the future, and it's all his own fault, and he made a rash decision. I still stand on what I said when we talked about this in the preseason, why I believe this isn't happening. It's because Hassan Reddick wasn't around, and it almost is hard to sign a guy to a long-term deal slash extension when you don't know what he's about, right? You don't really know him. You know what he did when he was in other places, in Philadelphia and Carolina before that, but you don't really know what he's about and how he's going to affect your team because he hasn't been around the team at all.
Okay.
And so it gets hard to justify that signing when you know that there were a bunch of other guys who are also coming up contracts, one of whom they already took care of, and Michael Carter, right? He got his deal done right before the start of the season. Like, I know the Jets want to take care of those guys that helped them get to where they are now, on the edge of having this, what you just called a win now season, and not a guy who got traded here and then didn't show up at all. Not even a little bit.
I know,
bit.
But they need him.
I know they need him, but he hasn't been a part of this team at all. And that's really hard to justify to all of those guys, players. I don't think they have an opinion on Hassan Reddick, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these guys have been there, dedicated, and focusing on this. And a lot of them have contract years coming up.
I totally get that. And I know this isn't going to be a perfect comparison, but I'll use the Knicks. I'll use a team I don't root for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Knicks.
Despite
somehow,
having season tickets.
Well, yeah.
You're a closet Knicks fan.
Because I love basketball. And I love watching good basketball. What do you want from me? Let's say the Knicks acquired Damian Lillard, right? But they don't need Damian Lillard. It's not really essential. And there's a contract dispute, okay? And Knicks fans are like, yeah, we don't even need Damian Lillard. What are we waiting for? And then Jalen Brunson gets hurt. He's out for the season.
Yeah.
Would you then say, wow, we're kind of lucky in that we have Damian Lillard. All we have to do is figure out our contract situation. And, wow, this is perfect. And then you refuse to do anything about it because, well, we have to stay firm. Imagine the Mets had acquired Corey Seager. But we don't need him. We have Francisco Lindor. And then Lindor gets hurt, and you're not kind of breaking that glass in case of emergency. The Jets are uniquely lucky. They have replacements for the injured pass rusher. It's right there, and all they've got to do, while it may hurt your pride, and I understand that, is work out a deal to make it happen. They didn't lose Jermaine Johnson, and it's like, what are you going to do with the trade deadline? Mm-hmm. Hopefully an edge pass rusher becomes available.
I mean, maybe
they have one.
Maybe one does come available.
Maybe one does, Teak, you're right, but you already have one.
Look, they have.
You just have to make it happen.
Look, the Jets have cap space, right? They're 10th, I think, in available cap space right now. And so could they get this thing done creatively? Sure, absolutely they could. But to me, I don't. As much as we talk about the money and the salary cap and all those potential ramifications from a financial standpoint, I think this still comes back to him not being around. I think that's what sticks with the Jets. I really do.
I get that.
And it's irreparable at this point, right? He's not fixing the fact that he wasn't around. And so it's just a matter of the Jets becoming so desperate, and maybe they are, but again, they haven't even played a game without Jermaine Johnson.
But they should be desperate because it's not about next week against New England. It's not about the week after that. It's about this gives them the best chance to win. Like, I know it sucks to lose a stare down, but they lost the stare down. Like, let's just admit it. They did. Everything worked out, unfortunately, favorably for the Reddick camp, where he's in a much better position than he was 2 weeks ago.
Of course he is.
It's just the reality.
Of course he is.
So you got to make right.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the practice squad guys. There's no even edges on the practice squad. It's all D tackles.
So, look, dude, they've got a hat in hand, I think is the phrase, and they got to make a deal. I'm sorry, and I didn't say this 2 weeks ago because things have changed.
Yeah.
And so the longer this doesn't happen, the more I'm convinced Woody Johnson, who doesn't mind taking all of our money, I love saying ours now because I'm a season ticket holder, he doesn't mind taking our money, he's got to divvy out just a little bit more. And this is on Woody Johnson the longer this
All right, let's hear it.
All right, Evan. My guy Slippery Pete has come through as usual. I have the ratings for all four locals yesterday at 1 o'clock.
All right, so for those who missed it, and we don't have the audio of this. I didn't cut it, but I wrote it down. On Friday, Tiki, Loogie, Sean, and I all made predictions because the Giants, Jets, Yankees, and Mets were all playing at the exact same time. And we wanted to get the New York-only rating for those four games and find out what are people going to watch? It was all happening at the same time. Real quick, me, Sean, and Loogie all thought the Giants would have the number one rating. Tiki thought the Jets. I thought the Yankees would be second. Tiki thought the Giants. Both Sean and Loogie thought the Jets. I thought the Jets would be third. Tiki and Sean thought the Yankees would be third. Loogie thought the Mets. Me, Tiki, and Sean had the Mets pulling up the rear. Loogie had the Yankees pulling up the rear. You have the numbers attached to it as well?
I sure do.
So let's start off with what finished fourth. Give us the number.
120,445.
Yeah, that's definitely the Mets.
That would be the grimmest Mets, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So the Mets finished last. That's a victory for me, Tiki, and Sean. Very small number, but understandable. Mm-hmm. They are the Mets. Not a knock on us. We're the little team in town. It is baseball. Who finished third, and what was that number?
The Yankees finished in third, 196,362. 196.
Wow, not that high. So the Yankees.
What was the Mets? 120.
So the Mets were at 120,000 people. The Yankees were at 190,000 people.
96 for the Yankees.
196.
And 362.
Sean and Tiki are correct that the Yankees would finish third and football would be at the top. I take my loss. Now we get to the main event. The Giants versus the Jets. Before we figure it out, give us the two numbers so we see how close it was.
Okay, we have 704,489. I know I'm not saying that properly.
Right. 704,000.
Yeah.
And the other one?
831,000.
Oh, so it's, I mean, it's a pretty good.
So 831 to 704. By the way,
that's a big difference.
We love sports. We all love sports in this town. Less than a million people watching the most popular sporting event of a Sunday afternoon.
Well, likely because it was so divided.
But even if you add that number up, if you add the 800, the 700, that's 1.5 million. And then the two minor Yankee numbers, that's less than 2 million people.
I'll say this. Yeah. I also have the numbers locally for Bengals Chiefs. Now, granted, unopposed, meaning no locals playing
Give
against it.
Give us that number, too. Throw it in there.
1.175 million.
Wow.
Now, 300,000 of those are Swifties, probably.
No, but also, you don't have any competition. That's right, everyone that's unified saying, oh, we're going to watch.
Great game, too.
Well, also, because now, this is new this year, there's no joint doubleheaders. You know what I mean? So, like, CBS and Fox don't both have doubleheaders.
Right. So, in New York, because remember, these are New York-only numbers. Yes. If you're mm-hmm. a New Yorker watching sports, that's basically the only game in town.
Yes.
Right.
Mets are done. Yankees are done. Jets are done. Giants are not. All right. I mean, the Giants definitely won. Tiki fought the Jets. The rest of us thought the Giants. Who had more viewers Sunday? 1 o'clock, the winner.
The New York Jets.
Wow!
Yes!
And Tiki wins. Yes! We win! They love us!
I called
it. They really love us!
It's the Aaron Rodgers effect.
We can't even beat the Jets in TV viewership! 0-2! This is garbage!
Wow. Sorry about that, Sean. You lost.
I didn't want to be right, but I just kind of figured I'd be right.
You know what? CBS is first on the antennas, 2-5.
Oh, stop it.
Stop it.
Maybe CBS's broadcasts are just better.
Maybe. Maybe.
You know what? Yesterday, you were right.
So here are
who was on the call,
Chris,
by the way?
I don't know if your buddy
Myers and
Mark Schlereth. Yeah, and with all due respect to Craig, Mark Schlereth and Chris Myers, that was the worst television broadcast I've ever heard in a football game. They got 17 names wrong, had no idea what was going on with a Dable challenge. It was unforgivable how bad they were at broadcasting that game yesterday.
Listen, I agree that it wasn't great, but don't use that.
No, we have to be fair. I'll talk Sean off the ledge here. You got to be fair here. The reason the number is that way is because, did I read you who was in fourth? Most Jet fans are Met fans. Most Met fans were not watching. They were watching the Jets, and our Giant brethren are watching the Yankees. That's why the numbers are the way they are.
Oh,
but you
I
could
see.
Still have your victory.
I see what you're saying. Mets, Jets, Yankees.
First of all,
of course,
Yankees, Giants. Even though it doesn't necessarily hold true for everybody.
Well, but that's the reason.
Also, that is not a reason. They're all on at the same time. So I don't know what the Yankees got a bad number, too.
No. But my point is they had a better number than the Mets. So more Giant Yankee fans were watching the Yankees and not the Giants. And so does that make sense?
No, you're twisting yourself into a pretzel.
No, I'm not.
Here's the bottom line. All right, it was 1 week. This is the only time this is going to happen this season. Okay, luckily. The Jets, the Giants, the Yankees, and the Mets all played at the exact same time. Here are your final numbers. This is New York viewers only. The Jets had 831,000 people watching. The Giants had 704,000 people watching. The Yankees had 196,000 people watching. The Mets had 120,000 people watching. Am I the only one to say, boy, these numbers are just very low? I mean, think about it. Like, we're a city of millions upon millions of people. Maybe we think sports is so, like, all about us.
I wonder what was everybody watching?
They were out.
Yeah, it's true. No, this is not a share. This is just
This is the total amount of people.
Yeah, this is not the share. This is a percentage of watch.
Yeah, this is the amount of people that... And look,
I wonder what the share was. Oh, that's what's interesting. That would be interesting.
There was also stuff going on in the news, maybe that dragged some people off the games.
What happened in the news?
Seriously?
No, well, yes, seriously.
What happened with Trump?
The gunshots that were close? Yeah, I mean, I guess.
You know what? You're right.
Oh, stop. You think that took people away from all these games?
Possibly.
CBS and Fox wouldn't even flip away from
football.
I'm
sure Beningo took a break.
I didn't know about it. So,
you're doing the game.
We didn't cover it.
Yeah, there was a graphic on CBS that jumped up, but even I barely noticed it because I was watching the Met game and the Jet game at the same time.
Fox didn't even flash it. CBS treated it like a severe thunderstorm warning.
Yeah. Either way, it actually jumps out at me how low the numbers are. Not any local team got over 1 million, and the only sporting event that did was the unopposed Chief Bengal game.
Yep, and I also have the Sunday Night Football did better than the Giants, not better than the Jets, 770,000. Yeah. Sunday Night Football, Bears, Texas.
Well, you got it all.
That was a rough game, though.
Slippery Pete is the best in the business.
Well, thank you to Slippery Pete. This was a fun exercise. Head-to-head-to-head-to-head. Giants, Jets, Yankees, Mets. And I want to congratulate the New York Jets. They are the kings of the town. They own the town. They have the most people watching them. So congratulations. Concede and congratulate the Jets, Sean. Go ahead.
Congratulations. Giants fans chose to watch the Yankees, tipping your number.
Thank you, Sean.
Stop it.
No, it's true. But that's obvious.
Can we put the credit to where it belongs?
Tiki
Barber,
right.
Once again, is correct.
Yeah, that's right. You did get it completely right.
Good one. That was good.
Tiki Barber nailed the predictions in order. He said Jets, Giants, Yankees, Mets. He got that completely right. Everyone got at least something off. So thank you to Slippery Pete. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. That's coming up next on SNY. Let's go to Ozzie in Woodridge. What's up, Ozzie?
Slippery Pete is also good at installing the holes, right, Tommy?
Yes, he is.
You're funny.
Forgive me if I sound a little muffled today. I have a bag in my head.
Oh, you joining Sean.
Wow. He went bag, too. I like it.
Oh, wait. I thought Kamara just scored again. I'm sorry. I got a little distracted. My apologies. Tommy. Tommy, I need you now more than ever. My football season is over. Positive Tommy, the positivity prophet. Take the Mets home, baby. Take us to the playoffs. Can you do that for me?
I could do that for you, Ozzie. As I've been doing all summer long with the Mets, I would just say this. Francisco Lindor got us here. It is now on the rest of the Mets. It's on Positive Tommy to take us home. I think that's a fair trade-off.
Don't you agree? Because, Ozzie, I'm with you. Tommy's got to finish the job. He's been leading us for so long. But he also has to suffer a punishment if he doesn't get the job done. If the Mets don't make the playoffs, what does he have to do? Because I believe he has to do something. I don't think he just gets to, go on the radio and say, it was a great year anyway. Like, I think that he needs to face some kind of punishment. Don't you agree, Oz?
Speaking of punishment or whatever, you know what? I don't know if this is still a thing, but I'm offering my mug up because I know a lot of people would want to see this happen. Is this Newcomb thing still a thing, or is that not happening?
Oh, yeah, I'm working on it. I want to play a game of Newcomb. Newcomb is this wonderful game, and thank you for the call, Ozzie, where you throw a ball over a volleyball net, and if you catch it, great. If it goes off of you and you miss it, you're eliminated. It's an elimination game. The reason it has not progressed since I brought this up a few months ago is we're still dealing with some legal hurdles. So once we get through the legal hurdles, I think it's going to happen. And I think I know where it's going to happen.
Where?
On the beach, on the Jersey Shore, at the kickoff to summer event.
Nice.
That's where I think we're going to pull it off. But if Ozzie's asking to play, he'll have to qualify. Mm. There are qualifiers. You're just not given something.
Are we doing Top Gun shirtless beach volleyball, Newcomb?
Boy, you insist, don't you? That's what happens when you got a good body. Just insist on that. Hey, Sean, can you do me a favor?
What?
By tomorrow, can you come up with that punishment for Lugie if the Mets don't make the playoffs?
Ooh. We're not going to do that, though. because we're not going to come up with a punishment because that's putting negativity in the atmosphere. If and when it happens,
it has
and
to
it
be
won't.
Decided after the fact.
Correct. All right, so here's what we're going to do, Sean.
That's fair.
Privately,
that's fair.
Can you come up with a punishment? We'll
yeah,
talk about it privately so that if they don't make the playoffs, we're ready to go. And we have the punishment ready.
I'm with you. I think it's a good idea, although I think there's going to be more positivity for the Mets tonight.
Really? You feeling good about the team tonight?
Look, I'm going to trust this source that I've been texted something.
Okay.
The expectation is that Grimace is throwing out the first pitch again tonight.
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Apparently, those in the media have received Grimace goodie bags, including T-shirts, keychains, and hats with all of Grimace's stuff, and Grimace has been spotted walking around the field as part of the seat.
Okay, I have to admit, I'm totally good with this.
Is he sitting there tonight?
He's sitting in his seat, I'm sure. He's got an assigned seat,
but
section 306.
But I thought it was, like, special for Met fans to sit in his seat.
I don't know. Maybe tonight it's for Grimace. It's painted purple. Maybe they haven't sold the ticket.
Okay, here's the challenge, though. Those kind of mascots, they're not supposed to talk.
So?
So if he's sitting in that seat, how do you not talk to him?
Have you sat next to Evan at a baseball game?
It's kind of the same thing. Score the game like Evan.
I have... Yes, you're our lucky charm. I have no issue with the Mets pulling out all the stops right now to get this thing to the finish line. I really don't. I know that some Mets fans have been annoyed by Grimace.
I haven't heard OMG in a while.
No. Every time they hit a home run, they play OMG.
I know, but I just feel like it's lost its steam a little bit.
All right, you know what we'll do? Can you pull up? Oh, my God. Very quick, Luke. Yeah, I respect that.
That made me feel better.
Here we go. Tonight. Oh, my City God. Field. Todo lo malo. Sean Manaea. Francisco Alvarez. Even the speed skater Eddie Alvarez. Lead us home, baby. Lead us to the wild card. Sing it all, everybody.
Oh, my God. Todo lo malo echado para allá. Oh, my God. Dame salud y prosperidad.
Let's go, man. Let's go, man.
If you believe, I believe.
I believe! All right, I feel good now. I feel very good going into this game.
See, look at that. It just made you feel better.
This is going to be a disaster, isn't it?
Didn't it? This made us all feel a little bit better.
I can just see it now. Even Loogie, deep down in his dark, dark soul, where he used to be negative, he's thinking to himself, oh my God, this is going to backfire on us.
No, I don't. By the way, Grimace, if you're listening, spit on the pitch before, because Lord knows they're not bringing hard back. So just give a little spit before on the ball, a little nod to the Hawk Tour girl. Nothing is going to backfire. We are going to October. Don't make any vacation plans. The Mets will be playing baseball.
You better be right, bro.
I will be right.
You better be right.
Have I steered you wrong ever before?
Yes.
Oh, you're right. I'll just say the Mets are the uncrowned champions.
Don't do that.